Xbox. Even though you may be going through much of the day thinking it's Monday, it is actually Tuesday, which means it's time for book picks and our book pick list from our independent bookseller of the week. Mike Hare of Northshire Books in Saratoga Springs joins us. Northshire has stores in Saratoga and Manchester Center, Vermont. He's here to present some of the finest authors and books that are making their way to store shelves this season. And Mike, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks very much for being here.
Joe, I'm delighted to be back with you today. And the first book I'm talking about today is Cast. And the author is Isabel Wilkerson. And this is it's actually the number one bestseller in the country. So many of the folks listening today, I'm sure, have already read Cast, and perhaps years ago or in the past few years have also read a book called The Warmth of Other Suns, and they're both written by Isabel Wilkerson. She is the author of both of those titles. The Warmth of Other Suns was a book about the great migration of African Americans from the South to the North in the early to mid-20th century. Cast is more of an analytical book, and what Wilkerson does extremely effectively and with a great deal of personal emotion is detail the way the caste system is so pervasive in cultures, including cultures like ours, where you may not anticipate its presence. The caste itself is best known, of course, in India, the Hindu religion, the system there. The caste system is very restrictive, and it's basically a system where you're sort of on a horizontal plane. It's if you're in an apartment building or a sky-rise type of a structure, and you're on the 44th floor, and that's where you live. You don't go down to the 43rd. You don't go up to the penthouse. You're basically where you're supposed to be, and you are supposed to stay there. The caste system in India is restricted that way, and that's very difficult for folks in the lower caste to be able to leapfrog into a higher realm. She also talks about the caste system in Nazi Germany from 1933 to 1945, and of course the Jewish population, the homosexual population, folks that were thought to be drags on the German society or at the lower rungs of this horrific system, and sort of the caste system at its worst in terms of what happened in Nazi Germany. But she also talks a great deal, and much of the book really is about the caste system in the United States and the German system of oppression and the horrors that took place in Germany. They had some precedents in the U.S. Eugenics was a very popular concept in the early 20th century here and overseas as well. And some of the German philosophy regrettably took some of those elements of Western society and used them so horrifically. But in the United States, the caste system has penalized many folks, including, and we see to this day, African Americans. Isabel Wilkerson herself is an African American woman. And in the book, and one of the ways the book is very effective is she talks about her own personal experiences. She's already won the Pulitzer Prize years ago as a journalist. The Warmth of Other Suns is a highly regarded book. So she is a well-established author, highly regarded. She's spoken in hundreds and hundreds of seminars, colleges, public appearances over the years, yet she still has to face that reality in the United States. And what she tries to do in Cast is show ways that caste is pervasive. She thinks it's even worse than race or class in terms of sort of defining who you are. And one of the disturbing things about it, not as disturbing as the African American experience or also, of course, the experience in Germany, is that many of us in our day-to-day lives are sort of within this one floor of the building that I mentioned a few minutes ago. You think of your associations, you think of your friends, you think of your work cohorts, you think of your family, you think of the people you like to spend time with, and sometimes it stays within this fairly narrow frame, and you might think that you're looking at other people's experiences in different ways, but it's difficult to do that sometimes when you're within your own floor or within your own caste. And what Wilkerson does is try to devise ways to surmount that and to try to be more sympathetic to folks that are not where you are economically, socially, whatever the definition is, but also to try to ascend to a higher level, not by putting people down that are you're trying to climb above, but trying to raise everyone up. So Cast is very rightfully a bestseller in the country. She's well enough known that the book kind of got out of the box very quickly and is doing very, very well. And she's been interviewed, obviously, in many places since this title has come out. But I'd highly recommend Cast by Isabel Wilkerson.
Excellent. It's a stunning book. It really is. It's Cast by Isabel Wilkerson. Next book.
Memorial Drive by Natasha Trethewey, and this is also an African-American woman and also a Pulitzer Prize winner, just like Wilkerson, but Trethewey is a poet, and she has won the Pulitzer Prize for her poetry. She wrote a book called Monument a few years ago, a book of poems, which is very, very good. She won the Pulitzer Prize for another book of poetry, but Memorial Drive is a memoir, and she's also a former poet laureate of the United States, and what this memoir sort of stands apart from others because its memoirs are, of course, very, very personal, but the story is a very harsh story. When she was 19, her mother was murdered by her former stepfather, and this was in 1985, so she was a young woman, and dealing with, the fact that she was an African-American woman and the burdens that placed on her at the time. So this event happened to her and certainly colored her life. She was close with her mother. The stepfather, former stepfather, had been a problem in the family for some time, and nobody thought it would come to what it came to, but it did, and the former stepfather murdered her mother, and this was 35 years ago in 1985, and this book just came out now. In the ensuing years, Trethewey went on to become a poet. She went on to win the Pulitzer Prize. She went on to be extremely successful in her life, but through that time, what she had to do personally was reconcile the loss of her mother in such a brutal fashion. And what she does in the book, which is extraordinarily impressive to me, is that she recounts her relationship with her mother. She talks about her childhood. She talks about her mother's childhood, what her mother had shared with her about her mother's childhood back in the earlier 20th century. And also she talks about what's happened to her in the years since her mother's death, becoming such a well-known poet and now author in the U.S. And the book details the situation with her mother and her stepfather. You can see clearly what was going on, yet it is completely devoid of bitterness or anger or hostility toward the event, which to me is remarkable. And how does she manage to do that? Well, the passage of time may have helped, but I think just the use of language and the fact that language can heal. And I think her poetry, any poet, any decent poet would probably say that that's one of the points of poetry, is to use it as something of a healing process. And the memoir itself is extremely poetic, the way that it's written. It's a moving story, and her command of language is equally good in Memorial Drive, I think, as it is in her poetry. So Memorial Drive, it's a brand new book, and the author is Natasha Trethewey.
All right. Next up, we'll go to, I think, a little history, right?
Dewey defeats Truman, yes, 1948. And this is sort of a pertinent book today because, well, there's a presidential election coming up in 2 months. And before 2016, and maybe including 2016, the biggest upset in American political history may have been in 1948, hence this title, Dewey Defeats Truman. Truman was the president in 1948. He was not elected. He succeeded Roosevelt when Roosevelt died in 1945. And Truman was thought to be in way over his head. He was not popular even within his own party. The Republican Thomas Dewey was the governor of New York at the time, was thought to be such a shoo-in that some of the pollsters in the weeks before the election stopped conducting polls because Dewey was clearly going to win. Why bother polling people when Dewey was going to win this election? It was a fascinating election in many ways. One aspect of it that's fascinating, that there were four candidates. There was Dewey the Republican, Truman the Democrat. Henry Wallace was a fringe, not even fringe, he was a left-wing candidate. He was basically a communist, and he garnered over 1 million votes. And on the other side of the spectrum, Strom Thurmond, who was a Dixiecrat, sort of a Jim Crow segregationist Southerner, carried four Southern states, and he also got more than 1 million votes. So you had these four candidates going across the country campaigning, and nobody thought Truman had a chance. And what he did, and this is sort of a lesson to politicians, I think, is that he didn't listen to pollsters. He didn't. He wasn't down on himself. He wasn't trying to get the votes of wavering Republicans, if you will. He basically went out on the road and stated his message. He said, "I'm a Democrat. Here's why." He supported New Deal legislation. He even supported universal health care in the 1940s. And imagine how far that got today. Look how in the 1940s he was even more of a non-starter, but he was a very dedicated liberal. He eventually desegregated the military. He supported unions, which were still very strong at that time in the country. And he was a believer in himself and what he could do to try to help ordinary working people. He went on a whistle-stop tour across the country on the train. He'd stop at any and all small towns along the way, go to the back of the train, speak to the crowds, get back on the train, and then go to the next stop. And against all odds and against every political prediction at the time, Harry Truman went on to defeat Thomas Dewey and win re-election. And the book is written by A.J. Baim, and it's you know what the outcome is. And obviously, the ironic title, and he's holding the famous newspaper that says Dewey defeats Truman, because that was even printed before the polls were closed that day. But it reads so well that you're really caught up into the drama of it, and also the passion of Harry Truman just never giving up and winning the 1948 election. So that's Dewey Defeats Truman by A.J. Baim.
All right, next up.
Breath by James Nestor, and it's about breathing. And it's something we all do from the day we're born till the day we die. And just briefly, some of his ideas is what he says in this book are not dissimilar to books you might read on yoga and meditation and just self-awareness, to breathe in through your nose, to be able to calm yourself down, to try to control your emotions. And he goes through the many experiences he's had with breathing masters, if you will, folks that have dedicated their lives to this, some Tibetan monks and folks, but also just people in the business world in the United States and people he has known and friends of his, and how positively effective it can be if you just kind of control your breathing. Controlling your emotions comes next. Controlling your anger, your urges can be brought under control when they're not healthy. So it's also a brand new book. It's called Breath by James Nestor.
All right. Next up.
Next up is a work of fiction, The All Night Sun by Diane Zinna. It's also brand new, and it's about a woman, a young woman. She's in her 20s. She teaches college in Washington, D.C., in the Washington, D.C. area. She had lost her parents years before in an auto accident. She's still grieving about that loss when she was teaching. And when she was teaching one semester, she had a student in her class named Siri, who was an 18-year-old from Sweden. And they became very close. Lauren traveled with Siri to Sweden at Siri's home during the summer vacation. Midsummer's Eve is a major celebration in Sweden at that time, when you have essentially the midnight sun. And there are all kinds of changes in the character of Siri when she gets back home to Sweden. There's some family dynamics. There's a lot of romance going on, and there's a lot of self-awareness and self-questioning in the book. And I'd highly recommend The All-Night Sun by Diane Zinna.
All right, time for one more.
Cardboard Gods. This came out about 10 years ago. It was written by Josh Wilker, and he was, as a kid, he collected baseball cards. And every chapter in the book begins with a baseball player. People like Hank Aaron and Tom Seaver, people that are well-known Hall of Famers. But then there are a lot of baseball players that are featured in this book who no one has ever heard of before, unless you're a huge baseball fan, as Josh Wilker was. And what he does is he relates the stories of the ball players to his own life. He had a bad family situation as a kid. His parents broke up. He had a hot and cold relationship with his older brother. He had struggles in school. He had struggles with girls. You know, you name it, the problems kids have, Josh Wilker had them in spades. And baseball offered him many avenues of escape. And what he liked was the clarity of baseball statistics, home runs, earned run average, wins and losses of pitchers. Everything is just so clear. And it's great to have that clarity in a world that's just so much up in the air. But the writing in the book is beautiful. It's for a baseball book about baseball cards, you wouldn't anticipate that. But it's just a wonderful, it's a memoir essentially too, sort of like a Memorial Drive. Certainly not that kind of category in terms of what happened to Wilker, but still, he relates his own life vis-a-vis baseball in youth, and it's I'd highly recommend Cardboard Gods by Josh Wilker.
Well, a darn fine list there, Mr. Hare. It is all of it you can find on our website. It's wamc.org/roundtable, and the full list is there. And you can also go to northshire.com and find out information on all these great books as well. Northshire.com. Or, for heaven's sake, visit them in Manchester and Saratoga. Mike Hare, thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Great, Joe. Thanks for inviting me back.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.